Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to 2 Peter chapter 1. Once again, we are continuing our series through the Bible titled, The Bible, A True Story. The last few weeks, we had found ourselves in 1 Peter, and this morning we're jumping into 2 Peter. And as I mentioned the last few weeks, these books are called 1 and 2 Peter because they are letters written by the well-known disciple named Peter. And oftentimes when we think of Peter, right, we can think of some negative things, right? How Jesus rebuked him, get behind me, Satan, right? How he denied Jesus, right? Not just once, but three times. And though we think about the fact that Peter was the one that walked on water, we quickly remember that he then sank because he became fearful, because he got scared. And so the reality is, I think Peter gets a bad rap for some of the mistakes he made as a young follower of Jesus, who may have been a little overly passionate at times, right? But here's the thing. I would rather have someone that's overly passionate, like that you got to control down, than someone who lacks passion. You got to keep kicking them in the rear, right? And so if we follow the life of Peter, we realize that his life changed dramatically after he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Peter that so many people think of is not the Peter who wrote 1 and 2 Peter. These two books were written at the end of Peter's life, after years of following and growing in Jesus, right? And so now he's an old and wise apostle at the end of his life who is just seeking to encourage the followers of Jesus to stand strong in their faith. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we're going to read 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 15. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. And we're going to stop there this morning. Now, as I mentioned, Peter is at the end of his life. He actually tells us this here in these scriptures. Again, in verses 13 and 14 at the end, he says, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me. And so apparently the Lord has given him some insight to the fact that the end of his life is nearing. And so he says there in verse 15 to end it, I will make every effort to see that after I leave, you don't forget these things I'm telling you. Now, as I was thinking about this, I found myself wondering, if I knew that my time on this earth was short, that it was coming to an end soon, what would my last sermon be? Or what would be the last letter that I wrote to my wife or to my kids, to those that I love? I would definitely be praying and trying to make sure that my final words were words that would be remembered, words that would have a lasting impact. And this is what Peter is doing here in this final letter. He is sharing things that he wants all believers to understand and to remember. And so what is it that Peter is speaking to us this morning? What is it that he's wanting us as believers to remember? Well, as I was praying and processing these words of Peter, there were a couple things that I think kind of rose to the surface. And I want to identify and share those things with us this morning. And so the first thing that I think Peter wants us to remember is this. Number one, the importance of our faith. In verse 1, he says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. He wants us to remember how precious and how important our faith in God is. Peter, again, is at the end of his life. And the reality is he has been through a lot in his life, right? He has been in and out of prison at times. He has been beaten and persecuted. And through it all, he continued to press on and press through. Why? Because of his faith. Peter had walked with Jesus. He had experienced his Savior firsthand. And he believed in this calling that God had on his life. Do we believe in the calling that God has on our life? Do we believe that following Jesus is what's most important in our world? That this is our faith. It's because of Peter's faith that he was willing to go through all that he went through. It's because of his faith that he was willing to make Jesus a priority in his life. And he knows that without faith, we can't do it. Without faith, we're nothing. Without faith, we're no different than the people living for the world. It's our faith that enables us to stand strong in the midst of the storms. It's our faith that enables us to get back up when we find ourselves knocked down. Peter has been through a lot in his life, and he knows the importance of our faith, which leads us to the second thing we see here in these scriptures from Peter, which is this, the importance of growing in our faith. In verse 5, Peter then says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Or in other words, to grow in your faith. God desires that we would be growing in our faith. That we would be growing in our knowledge and understanding of who he is. Peter is someone who grew in his faith. When he first started following Jesus, we mentioned earlier, he was all over the place, right? Speaking out of turn, saying things that he couldn't back up. Peter was a spiritual baby who had all sorts of room for growth. And that's exactly what Peter did. Peter grew in his faith, and he continued to grow all the way up until his life came to an end on this earth. But before he left, he was wanting to share some of his wisdom with all of us. He's wanting to share how we too can continue to grow in our faith. And I want to share seven things that he talks about that help us grow in our faith this morning. You'll see them there in the verses. The first one he shares is this: goodness. Goodness. We need to be growing in goodness. And some translations use the word virtues. And what Peter is talking about here is really just our morals. We should be striving to grow in a way that honors the Lord, that honors God. And it's really this idea of being transformed from the inside out. It's a transformational growth that happens within us as we strive to be right with God and as we continue to seek Him and seek His will for our lives. When we do that, we grow in His goodness, thus growing in our faith. And then the second thing Peter tells us we need to grow in is knowledge. Now, the word used in this text for knowledge is the word gnosis. It's G-N-O-S-I-S, which means knowledge, but it's actually referring to an applied knowledge. And what Peter is saying here is that we need to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, but it's not just about what we know. It's what we do with what we know, right? And so the more we grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord, the more we have to apply that knowledge to our lives, actually live out the things we're learning and growing in. And so growing in our knowledge doesn't just mean memorizing Scripture. It's great to memorize Scripture. Scripture is a wonderful thing. We should be memorizing it. But it's not enough to just memorize Scripture. You see, I've been in ministry for 25 years. And I've met a lot of people who can quote Scripture frontwards and backwards, who know Scripture 10 times better than I do. But the sad thing is there are those that come up to me and share all this stuff with me and speak these Scriptures. And they may know Scripture front and back, but they're spiritually immature. And that's because they know the Word. They know the Scriptures, but they don't apply them. They aren't living it out. Just knowing Scripture isn't the kind of knowledge Peter is referring to here in these Scriptures. He's talking about the kind of knowledge that compels us to then live what Jesus was saying, to live what the Bible says, to actually apply it to our lives. You see, the Bible is more than just a textbook full of knowledge. The Bible is actually life. It tells us it's living and breathing. And in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Right? We've heard that. And it can be confusing when you look at that. When you look at the Word there, it's actually referencing Jesus. God in the flesh, who was and is to come. And so when we open up God's Word and truly seek to grow in knowledge the way Peter is talking about here, we discover this life that God is calling us to live. And as we grow in the understanding and knowledge of that life, then we can't help but grow in our faith. Peter had been with Jesus. He had walked with Jesus, and he continued to grow in his knowledge and understanding of Him. And he knows how important it is for us to do the same, for us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. The third thing Peter says that we need to grow in here is self-control. Right? Now, every time I hear that word, I think of anybody old Music Machine from Agape Land, you know, back in the day, there was this old record we used to listen to. It actually took you through the fruit of the Spirit, but one of the songs was Self-Control. You guys don't remember that? You know, once I had a knot in my shoe, but it would not come loose. I got so mad, I kicked the door, but it would not come loose. It would not come loose. I got so mad, I kicked the door. I stubbed my little toe. Oh! You know, there's a picture of the kid doing that. If only I had learned a little bit of self-control. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. Maybe I am. My wife tells me I'm crazy, so. But it's this whole idea, self-control, right? Here's the thing with self-control, though. We hear that word, but the problem is the word self-control is a horrible definition of itself. Okay? And what I mean by that is this. It gives us this idea that it's something we can control ourselves, right? As it implies the name self-control. But the thing we have to understand is that growing in self-control actually means less of us and more of God. Self-control is us decreasing, right? So that God can increase in and through our lives. The truth is we are sinful in nature, and on our own, we're going to lack control, right? But when we give up our self, when we give up our lives and give it to the Lord and allow God to take control, we begin to grow in Him and grow in our faith. And the interesting thing when it comes to this idea of self-control is the fact that the Bible doesn't talk about self-control. We hear the word self-control, but it doesn't talk about self-control a lot in the Scripture. It actually talks more about giving God control of our lives and being led by the Spirit. As a matter of fact, that might be a better word for self-control, right? Maybe we should actually call it spirit control, right? Instead of self-control. Can I just change things like that? Can I don't think I can really do that. But really, that's what it is. It's spirit control. I actually want to share a verse with us this morning that I think will help us better understand the idea of self-control. Paul in Romans 8:5 says this, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires." And let me stop there for a second, because this is a picture of self. The flesh is self-seeking. It goes after what it wants. It goes after what it desires. But then Paul continues here with the second part of verse 5 when he says, "But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." This is the self-control or spirit control, right, that Peter is talking about here. It's living in a way that allows the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. It allows the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and help us to grow in self-control and to ultimately grow in our faith. Then the fourth thing we see Peter talk about is perseverance. And Peter is really referencing this idea of just of remaining faithful, this idea of growing in our faithfulness to the Lord. And this is something that I think is very important to Peter. You may remember that early on, he wasn't faithful, right? He wasn't faithful to the Lord. He said he would be. If you remember in the upper room, he said that he would die. He would die for Jesus. But when the doo-doo hit the fan, and sorry, I had to clean it up a little bit there. Crap works too, I guess. I can say that in church, right? Can I say crap in church? When the crap hit the fan, he denied knowing Jesus. But now Peter has grown. He's a completely different man, right? As a matter of fact, it wasn't long after he wrote this letter that Peter did die for Jesus. You see, he grew in his perseverance and he continued to remain faithful to the Lord until the end of his life on this earth. And I believe that is what Peter is encouraging us to do, to remain faithful to the Lord, to keep persevering. We live in a fallen, broken world, and we will continue to face challenges and trials in this life. But as we grow in endurance and faith, we grow closer and closer to eternity with Jesus, which is what we all are hoping for, amen? The next thing Peter tells us that we need to grow in is godliness. Again, the fact is we were born into sin. Because of the fall, we have this sin nature in us that makes us ungodly. But now that we have received grace and forgiveness from Jesus, we can now experience righteousness in and through Him. And Peter is encouraging us to grow in godliness, to continue to grow in the Lord, to continue to give our sins and failures to Him, to give everyone and everything to Him, right? It's this idea that we've talked about a lot lately of throwing off the old and putting on the new. We can experience godliness through that new life that we have in Jesus. We don't have to remain in bondage to sin. Peter knows that we need to grow in this way so that we can continue to walk in the righteousness that only comes from Jesus. And then the sixth thing Peter shares with us here is something called mutual affection. Now, the Greek word that Peter uses here in this section of Scripture is actually the word Philadelphia. Sound familiar? You guys heard that word before? Philadelphia. It's where the city of Philadelphia got its name. And it means what? Brotherly love, right? To love one another as friends. And Peter is encouraging us to grow in what we know is actually one of the greatest commandments, right? To love others. It's kind of funny, though. Philadelphia is referred to as the city of brotherly love. But I was reading an article last week, before I was even planning on speaking this message, I was reading this article that talked about how horrible it is for a pro football team that isn't the Eagles to play in Philadelphia, right? Because apparently, Philadelphia fans are some of the meanest and most vulgar fans in the NFL. It was voted worst place to play, worst stadium to play in the NFL. So much for brotherly love, right? The sad thing is, it seems like our world today is struggling in this area of brotherly or sisterly love, right? We're called to love our brothers and sisters, and we are often struggling with one another. Jesus tells us this in John 13, 34, and 35. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you bicker and yell and shout at one another." Wait, is that what it says? No. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." If you get along, you may believe differently, but you still have to love one another. Peter knows that if we are going to grow in our faith and, more importantly, see others grow in their faith, then we need to learn to love our brothers and sisters. This is a command that Jesus gives. And you'll notice that he doesn't say, well, love them if they love you. Or, well, love them if they believe the same way that you believe. If they believe Scripture the same way you believe. If they believe the same politic. Only love them if you're a Republican and they're a Republican. Or if you're a Democrat and they're a Democrat, right? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say also, love them if they don't bother you or irritate you. No, Jesus says, love them as I have loved you. Peter knows that the disciples and apostles were much more effective at sharing the gospel when they were loving one another and working together. Which is why I believe Peter is encouraging us to grow in mutual affection with others, to grow in our brotherly and sisterly love towards each other. Which then leads us to the final thing Peter points out that we need to grow in, which is love. Now, though this is similar to mutual affection, the root word here is different. The Philadelphia love, right, that we just talked about is that friendship type of love that we have towards other believers or towards people that we have a mutual bond with, right? But the love that Peter uses here at the end of verse 7 is the Greek word agape. Yes, agape, right? And it's the purest form of love talked about in the Bible. It's an unconditional, sacrificial type of love. It's the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated for all of us when he died on the cross for our sins. And he desires us to have that same kind of love for others. But the thing is, it's actually a divine love that can only come from the Lord. And the truth is, all these things that Peter is telling us that we need to grow in here, in this scripture, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and agape love, right, are things that can only grow in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter is a perfect example of this, right? If you look at the life of Peter when he was following Jesus around, he continued to make a fool of himself, right? But then what happens? Jesus ascends into heaven to be with the Father. And like Jesus said, God sent the disciples and followers of Jesus a gift, right? He said, go wait, I'm going to send you a gift. And he sent them a gift. What was the gift? It was the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost in that upper room, everything changed for Peter and anyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus. This man who had denied Jesus just a little over a month earlier stood up and declared the gospel without fear or hesitation. And guess what? In front of some of the same people who had crucified Jesus. What was different about Peter? Peter was now operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that empowered Peter, guess what? Is the same Holy Spirit that lives in us if we choose to follow Jesus. It's not like Peter and even Jesus when he walked this earth, like we get the second-rate Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that lived in them is the same Spirit that lives in us. The key, though, is that we need to be drawing from the power of that Spirit instead of drawing from our own strength. Oftentimes we do things in our own power instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. We need more of Him, right? Less of us. I do that. I do that. I sit there and I'm like, more of you, less of me. And it seems so ridiculous, but there is something that happens in me when I do that. When I'm struggling with my messages, when I'm struggling to hear God, I just, more of you, less of me. And all of a sudden things begin to flow. We need more of Him and less of us. We need to be decreasing so that He can increase. Our faith is important, but what's more important is that we're growing in our faith. That we are seeking to allow the Holy Spirit to help us grow and become the men and women that God is calling us to be. Peter knows how much his life changed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this letter, he is wanting to make sure that followers of Jesus remember the importance of our faith and the importance of growing in our faith, the importance of being the salt and light that God has called us to be. That's what Tyler talked about last week, right? Peter knows that when Jesus ascended, he gave the disciples a command to go and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And Peter knows that command was for everyone who calls himself a follower of Jesus. That command wasn't just for the disciples back then or the people that lived back then. That command is for everyone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. And we can't do it in our own strength. We can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to share one last scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's Colossians 1:27. It tells us this. It says, to them, who is them? It's the followers of Jesus, right? to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And what is the mystery? It tells us here. It says the mystery, which is Christ in you. The Holy Spirit in you, which makes you what? The hope of glory. This is one of the most powerful scriptures for us as a New Testament believer. Can we do this morning? Can we read this scripture together? Let's read this scripture together. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you guys believe that? I think sometimes we don't believe it. We look at the life that Peter had before and we look at our life in that way. Man, I don't know how many times Jesus would have rebuked me. I don't know how many times I've denied Jesus. I don't know how many times I've messed up. How can I be the hope of glory? We can't in our own strength. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to be the hope of glory to others as we go and fulfill the Great Commission, as we go and let our light shine bright for Him. We bring a hope to others that can change the world. That's what Peter did. And that's what Peter's encouraging us to do in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our grocery stores, at the gas pump, wherever we go. We are called to be lights that let our light shine for Him and that bring His hope to the world. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And I thank You so much for Peter, because I relate to Peter so well. Lord, I have failed. I have made mistakes. I have denied You and turned my back on You at times. But You still love me. And You graciously brought me back to You. And You continue to work in my life to make me stronger and stronger in You, to help me grow in my faith. And so, Lord, I love Peter. I love the example that he is, how he became this amazing disciple and apostle who made such a difference in the kingdom of God. And Lord, You are calling each of us to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Now, we may not have that same role that Peter has, but as we just love our neighbors, as we love our families, as we love our coworkers, as we love the people we see in the grocery store, as we walk down the street, Lord, You want to use us. You want to use us to make a difference in this world. And Lord, we can only do that if we are people who are growing in our faith, if we are people who are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we thank You for Peter. We thank You for his letters encouraging us, imploring us to grow in our faith, to live the lives that You've called us to live, to take advantage of our short time here on this earth to make a difference in the same way that Peter and the apostles and everyone after him has, Lord. And so we thank You for these scriptures, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we would grow in our knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. And Lord, as we grow in our understanding and knowledge, that it wouldn't just be knowledge, but Lord, that it would become life, that we would live out Your words, that we would live out Your scripture, so that we can truly make the impact that You've called us to make. We thank You for these things, Lord. We just give them to You. We pray that, Lord, each of us receive what You want us to receive from this scripture today. Help us to have ears that are open, hearts that are open to hear what You want to speak to each of us as individuals, Lord. We're all at a different place on this journey of what it means to follow You. Maybe there's some that haven't made that decision yet today. I pray that maybe today they would make that decision to follow you. They'd simply say, Lord, I want you to be the Savior of my life. Come in and help me to live this life that Peter talked about. Maybe there's some of us, we've been struggling, Lord. We just pray that you help us to lay those struggles at your feet, to give everyone and everything to you, and to allow you to empower us to live the lives that you've called us to live. Wherever we are on this journey, Lord, help us to continue to grow, continue to seek you in all that we do. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.